Welcome to episode 50 of Dealer Process Secrets. Halfway to 100, guys. Sterling, Brian, you there?
Yeah, what's up, Phil?
What's happening? So today's show, I think let's talk about down payment and why it's so important and why it's really the main thing to be focused on at the sales desk, in my opinion, really to get your overall total deals bigger. If you're always focused on getting more down payment, getting the most amount of down payment you can out of your customer, your total overall deal is just going to be a lot bigger. You're going to have a lot less problems with approvals, et cetera. And just talk about a bunch of different ways to do that and how to keep your focus on that and different strategies and things like that. You got anything, Brian?
I think it's always good to, you know, start high and then work your way back. That always seems to get you at least something to work towards.
Absolutely.
If you start out at zero, you're going to get zero. Down payment's always one of those like free concessions that you can go to close a deal because, hey, if I can make this work at X, does that work for you? And, you know, it's something you're not giving up gross. You're not giving up, you know, price to get to something that's going to close the deal. And so that's always some place that I go.
That's brilliant. And that's literally because it's, and this is where I think the habits get out of place and, you know, you end up asking for less up front. A great strategy. I like to pencil every single deal with 30% down minimum. Sometimes I'll even go 35%, 40%, especially if it's a lease, obviously less, but, if it's not a lease and it's a purchase, penciling with 30, 35%, 40% down. And there's a lot of strategies behind that. But what happens is, you know, your customer, you already know, told you they didn't want to put anything down. So you send a pencil out with zero down and you're essentially just falling over to that when down payment is literally the number one priority in a deal. It should be, you should always be focused on how to get the maximum amount of money that you can get out of your customer. And I'm going to take that pencil out to the person that said zero down with 30% down every single time. And I'm going to present it the same way, which is most of our customers put 30% down. It gives you better financing options. It's going to help your payment, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, no matter what objection I'm having, whether it's price, whether it's interest rate, whether no matter what it is, trade value, well, you know, we can always do a little bit better on everything if you give us more money down. I mean, I'm always going back to that. And the philosophy, it's not really a philosophy, the more average down payment you can get. So let's say you're in a dealership and you've got, I don't know, 40% leases, 60%. It doesn't really matter, but I guess focus on the retail. But if you get another $500 down than what you did last month, you'll actually watch that in your overall total gross inside the deal will go up every single time. So especially in today's time when we're selling deals at sticker, finance might be capped out a lot. The place to get more money is in the down payment. And it's the number one thing to focus on. It's literally what the sales desk should just be beating a drum almost of more down, more down, more down, more down. And if you get that philosophy going from your sales desk and you get it through great practices, like always asking for 30% or more down on every single pencil, which also becomes, you know, the different laws we have as far as being compliant. You know, if you're asking every single customer for 30% down, then you're being super compliant versus asking some of them for down payment and waiting for the bank or just falling over. Oh, this guy says he has no money down, so he has no money down. And a great tactic is, it's almost seems old school to me, just depends where you are. But looking at the credit bureau and knowing what their available credit is, and this helps from, you know, the times that you will have to veer away from know down or start, or you know what questions to ask. Do you think your mom can help you with some down? Do you think your wife can help you with some down? You'll know what to ask if you're able to look at their credit report and see that they have nothing available on their revolving versus the guy that says, oh, I want to put nothing down. And you look at his credit bureau and he's got 30 grand sitting there on revolving. Well, you know, he just doesn't want to put anything down. And that's the guy that, you know, obviously I'm going to push for 5-6 grand down, depending on what the purchase of the vehicle looks like. And if you're starting, you know, if you're starting with a $50,000 car and you're talking 30% down, you're asking him for 15 grand. And like you said, Brian, that's, you always want to start high. So we know this, that's a simple negotiation, how a negotiation works. You know, you ask me for 1,000 off, I give you 100. If I'm asking you, if I'm offering you 1,000 and you're only coming up 100, you're going to win. If you're offering me to 1,000 off and I'm only coming off 100, I'm going to win. So, in the long run at the end of that negotiation, that's just basic, simple negotiation. So, asking for as much possible money down right off the bat. This is best practice at the sales desk. This is what almost all the training, in my opinion, off the bat should be focused around. Obviously, it's personal skill sets, managing people. That stuff gets much deeper. But the basic structuring of a deal, the basic penciling of a deal, the basic first pencil, the basic word tracks of what you want your guys to be saying to the customer, and what you want to be focused on more than anything is just getting tons of money down. Looking at that credit report is vital. A lot of people don't do that anymore. So you don't really know where you are with this person when it's really simple. Reading, hey, how much revolving does this guy have? And that gives you a clear picture of what's going on. If he tells me he has nothing down, and I see he has nothing down, well, I know to ask, like he literally doesn't have anything in his wallet. I know to ask for other people. If I know he does have stuff in his wallet, then I know I just need to keep hammering, you know, anything that any kind of discount or any kind of anything that this guy wants. I'm going to try to get more and more and more money down. And it's an averaged principle. So, you know, we like to find those anecdotal examples of, oh, well, this guy didn't have any money down. That's not the point here. The point here is that when you're constantly looking for more money down, you're going to average a higher amount down. And when you get better and better at that, the more you average of your down payment after all your deals are done, the more gross you're going to have. Either you want to push back on that or either you got something to add to it.
I was just going to say, you know, if you've been following like U.S. economy, households have more in savings now than they've had in decades. So, you know, the down payment is there.
And more down payment makes your deals bigger. It's pretty simple concept. If you average an extra $500 down on all of your deals, that's an extra $500 that your finance manager has to pick up, depending if you're selling parts, and things like that, it ends up turning into gross inside the deal.
A huge
percentage of it. So if you're in a store averaging a $2,000 down payment across all your deals, and you get that to a $2,500 down payment, your deals are going to go up like $300 or $400, your total deal size at the end. So
yeah, average PVR is going to go up.
Yeah. So total deal. So, I mean, a lot of it, because it ends up in the back, it ends up in the front, but your total deal goes up with your down payment going up. So, I mean, shortchanging ourselves by thinking everybody wants zero down or everybody wants to put $2,000 down, and they tell you they want to put $2,000 down on a $50,000 car, and then you pencil them at $2,000 down versus penciling them at $15,000 down, even though they told you $2,000 down, and then saying, hey, most of our customers put 30% down when they're doing a purchase. The bank likes to see more money down. Truth. You're not doing anything. Banks like to see more money down. Obviously, they like to, they're better in the collateral, right? So, you know, you're telling the truth and you're constantly going to ask for more. So now you get 30, maybe you only get $3,500 out of the guy that had $2,000, but you did that by asking for 15 versus just taking that pencil out there and showing the $2,000. I mean, it's pretty simple stuff. It doing the podcast on this is because I see it a lot, and it's very normal, I think, where, oh, you know, basically the salesperson goes to the desk. Oh, he's got $5,000 down, or oh, he's got $2,000 down. And the desk is just penciling what the customer told them to do. I mean, what have we always called that? Order taking, right? I'm going to pencil every single person with the 30% down. Very simple strategy. Does it. And then your salespeople are already used to it. You know, well, oh, you want to put $2,000 down? Well, we're going to show you the best way to buy off the bat, and we'll go from there. And then you've got a simple word track. Which I teach. I teach a wonderful word track for this, but simple word track where you're basically saying most of our customers put 30% down, makes it easier to trade in the vehicle, puts you in a better equity position. When you come back, you're not upside down. This covers your taxes. This covers this. This covers that, et cetera. And yeah, I mean, it's going to make your deals bigger. So you got
it. And obviously it's a lot easier to say, hey, you know, you're going to cover your TTNL, you're going to cover your tax dot and licensing, right? And a lot of times, you know, that's going to help. And obviously when you submit the deal with more equity, it's going to make the deal score better. So everything, you know, everything that we're telling you is going to make the deal better for you, and it's going to make it better for the customer. It's going to score better with the lenders. They're going to get rewarded with better rates. And it's just a win-win.
The only thing that might go down if you do a really, really, really good job at it is your gap sales.
Right. Because you can't sell gap at what, under 70% equity, or 70% LTV?
Honestly, you're going to sell something else in place of it. Your deals will always go up. But I guess the main reason to have this show and discuss this is that it's quite normal. It's a quite normal thing I see in dealerships across the board where they're just taking the customer's dictates. Oh, I have 2,500 down. Oh, I have 3,500 down. Like, and you got to put yourself in the shoes of when you're buying things. When I'm buying things, you know, whether it be a house, whether it be a this or that, it doesn't matter. And then especially if I'm adding financing into the equation because it's a large purchase, like, am I going to come at you with what I actually have? No, I'm coming at you with less than what I actually have, hoping that it gets there. And when I come at you with 2,500 and I want a $500 payment, but I really had 3,500, just look at the difference in the gross in the deal. When I say okay to the $2,500 payment, so now the customer is going, yes, I'm only going to put 2,500 down. In their mind, they're like, that extra thousand I had, ooh, I can go get a watch, like whatever. They're spending it on something already else in their mind, you know? And once you say yes to that 2,500, it's hard to then get that 3,500 that this customer actually had. And then he still has to be at the $500 payment. So now you're making, you know, a crappy deal, and maybe it doesn't work that much right now. Like that, my goodness, I just heard recently of a dealer, not taking outside financing. I was like, how cool is that? That's something you should, man, that would be amazing to keep that policy in place and just have all dealerships say, nope, you got to finance with us. That's super cool, but that's because it's a seller's market right now, that you're able to do that. So even in the seller's market though, how do you make the overall deal bigger? Because if you're selling all your vehicles at sticker right now, how do you get more money in this deal? Well, obviously it's going to come from the finance office. Well, what's the main issue that the finance managers are having right now is that they're capped out. They don't have a room in a lot of their deals. Well, you fix that by averaging up on your down payment, by getting more down payment. And I know we like to look at the anecdotal deals of like, you know, this guy really didn't have the money, or you know, wouldn't have made a difference on this deal because he got bought all the money. That's why it's got to be a very consistent, like everything else, extreme process. And when you go into dealerships that know it and that are doing it right, it's interesting because you watch them get $1,400 out of the zero down guy, and you watch them get $5,000 out of the 2,500 guy, and you watch them get $10,000 out of the 6,500 and $5,000 guy. Because that's what they're hammering, and they're hammering it. And these are the dealerships that overall total deals have the absolute highest gross when all they do is focus on down payment. as the number one priority. It's not the only focus, but it's absolutely the number one priority from the beginning to the end of the deal is getting more down payment. You get more down payment, everything else becomes easier. And then in today's climate, even though we have the seller's market, in today's climate, that just leaves the finance manager on average. So, I mean, we can get into all the anecdotal deals, and I did five deals in a row that blah, 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 blah. On average, you have more down payment, you have more room in the deal to sell more back end products, period.
Have you heard of the dealers? I haven't heard of the dealers rejecting outside financing, but I have heard of dealers that have like a rebate to use the dealership financing. So it's
that's been around forever. Yeah. But I literally, there's a dealer that said, nope, we're not doing that. I know of that goes, nope, we're not taking any outside financing anymore. They don't have to. That somebody else is going to come buy the car. So if you want to buy it, yeah, use our financing. And I was like, man, I didn't even know you could do that. If that was even legal, because, you know, for the past 15 years I've been in the business, we've been every which way we can to make a deal, until this recent inventory shortage. It's become a huge seller's market. I mean, I'm used to buying my cars, all the way back of invoice. Honestly, mostly bought Lexuses. And, right now the Lexus dealers are stupid to even give me that deal. So the different ones, the cars I have spread out in my family, I'm talking to people about extending their leases to see if this blows over, your payment's going up $150. And that's, you know, with me making these deals and putting these deals together from dealerships that, you know, been happy to blow them out for me, because that's what they do. They sell 600, 700 cars, and, you know, they blow out majority of them over the past years. Now they're making a lot more money, but you always want to make as much as you can. And you also want to be set up, going into a totally different discussion, but I mean, you want to be set up for when this changes with best practices in place, obviously, because we know everything comes and goes, right? So it will change eventually. Who knows when? That's a totally different subject we've tried having before. And I just think it's a silly conversation to have, because nobody knows. And the best thing you can do is be prepared for either which way the wind blows. And this doesn't change. And this is actually still, it's interesting. That's why I wanted to do the show on this. It's interesting because if the market was totally opposite of this, say we were in the beginning of 2009 or all of 2009, and the market was totally opposite of this, I'd be giving you the same advice. You want to be focused on getting as much down as possible, because if you can get as much cash out of the person, it's more likely we're going to get the deal bought. Well, in this case, if you can get more down out of the guy, it's more likely that finance is going to make a bigger back end and your total deals are going to be bigger. So if you're looking for more money, which you should be regardless, always, it's still the same practice. Payment is the number
one. I always say profit hides a multitude of sins. And what I mean by that is, like, in the good times, we end up cutting corners, and I would advise anyone listening that, you know, now's the time to get your best practices in place and hold them in place, because that's going to keep you being, you know, a higher performer longer.
So, I mean, we can get into some quick stuff, or we could end the show. Just some quick ideas of negotiating. I'd ask you, Brian, how do you, when they start asking you for a discount on the price of the car, they start asking you for more for their trade, what do you do? I guess, what do you do if down payment's your number one priority?
Come in exactly the way that you're talking about. Come in asking for 30% down, asking for 20% down, using that as your starting point.
Anything can happen with more.
And then, down. Yep.
Like, yep. Always going back to, you know, the arm, the agree, respond, move on, pretty much bypassing the request and asking for more money down. I mean, it's literally like a drum. The dealers that do it good, it's like a drum. You know, I need more money down. 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 Until finally the customer is just like, okay, if I give you this money down, can I get this, this, and this? It's like, Yes, you can. So, because they, you know, they go from 2,500 to $6,000 and you're like, okay, that works. But if you're not doing that and you're penciling your deals at what the customer's asking you for, I mean, that's why I say it's the number one priority. It's, you know, if you take this into the finance office, we've discussed this quite a bit more than we've discussed this on the show. But you take this into the finance office, it's the same thing. You know, I'm looking at biweekly payments if I can offer that. I'm looking at weekly payments, and I'm looking at, I'm asking for more money down before I start discounting my finance products. Same thing. Right. So,
all right. Absolutely. Sterling, did you have anything you wanted to share?
I had a question, and I think I know the answer because I've learned a lot in this conversation and conversations prior about the down payment, how important it is and how beneficial it is to all parties. But I was wondering if you have a paid off trade and the paid off trade equals some percentage of, you know, the car, let's just call it 10%. Do you factor that in when you ask for 30% from the customer? Because that trade may be 10%, do you then only ask for 20%, or do you still ask for 30% down payment in that scenario, would you say?
Best practices, I have a $50,000 car, and let's say I have a $20,000 paid off trade and this person wants to finance. I'm saying your bike is worth, or your car or your bike is worth $20,000, and I'm asking for $15,000 down on top of it, best practices. And so then I'm going to show them, I'm going to show them a first pencil of them financing 15 or 18 grand with taxes and everything. And they're going to go, Whoa. I had my trade in. I told you, I didn't want to pull any cash out. I have a paid for trade. What's the deal? And I'm going to be like, well, you know what? That is over 15% down. And I'm going to go into my same spiel. Bank always likes to see as much money down as possible. You come back in such a better position to trade this in later. You're going to pay less interest. All the benefits of putting more money down. Are you sure you don't want to put any cash on top of this trade? No, I've just got my trade. Okay. Well, they already have 15, 20% down. Best practices. I'm still going to ask for it. I'm still going to go for it. Best practices. And you're going to do that so that you consistently do it all the time on every single deal that you're penciling from the desk. And if I'm asking that guy, I'm definitely asking everybody else. I'm definitely showing everybody else. And what it also does is it knocks people off their high horse. If you have a guy that legitimately has zero down and you tell him, hey, most customers put 30% down. So you're looking at a $20,000 vehicle. I'm going to ask you for $6,000 down and you have zero, you are knocked off your high horse. You're now feeling like I'm not even in the right position to be buying this. I have zero. Most people put $6,000 down. Okay. So now I'm helping you out like big time at the end of the day. If I end up rolling you with zero down.
Seven deadly sins, right? Pride's one of them.
But if I'm starting at six and you're starting at zero, most of the time I'm going to get to a place where you pull out 1200, 1400, a grand on the low end, because I'm going to be like, you sure you don't have something you can sell for $2,000? You don't have somebody you can borrow 2,500 bucks, $3,000, please come on, help me make this deal happen for you. And then you got that person turning and thinking, you know, where can I get some money? And most people, if they're buying a car, $20,000 car, they do have $1,200 at the worst case scenario. They can borrow from somebody or pawn something. I'm being dead serious here. And we don't get that aggressive inside dealerships. If you want to see the guys with the biggest deals out there, they are beyond that aggressive. Like they will call up and get a buy bid from the pawn shop of something that they have to trade in. Whether it be some jewelry, a watch, it could be anything, you know. People have stuff that, you know, sitting in their garage that they can pawn different things. And this sounds crazy, I know, to a lot of people out there. Like, oh, it sounds like too much work. When you make it your number one priority to collect as much down payment as you can, you will start to get very creative. And when you increase your down payment, that's how you see dealers doing these astronomical grosses. And you think they might be doing something sketchy, and they're not. they're collecting tons of down payment and they're making the down payment the number one priority. There's a lot.
Yeah, I loved how you touched on pride, because like in sales, I don't think we go there as often as we could or should, where, you know, people are super prideful and pride is a crazy motivator. And, you know, people being able to do something or not being able to do something that someone else can do is a crazy motivator.
Oh, that's, I hammer that. Like, that's within pretty much all of my strategies and processes that I do, is all about knocking the customer off of their high horse. I mean, you know, they just expect to come in and buy it with zero down. You know, unless they've already gone to another dealership and they got numbers up the street, I'm going to wear them down to pull $1,000 out, to pull $1,400, $1,200 out. It's usually $1,000 to $1,400 that you're going to be able to get out of a real zero down customer. If you make it your number one priority to get as much down payment as you can, your real zero down customer will end up giving you $1,000 to $1,400, sometimes more. Your $1,000, your $2,000 down customers, you're going to be getting $3,500 and $5,000 out of them. If you're really, really, really hammering your $3,000, your $4,000 guys, you're going to be getting $7,500 out of them. Just think of the difference that that makes. It doesn't sound like a lot from the zero down to getting the $1,400, but that's the same in finance of doing selling one product for a $200 or $300 profit versus taking a zero deal. It definitely, when you're making this your best practice, and that's probably the hardest customer. So your hardest time, and you should be the most proud out of getting that extra $1,000 out of the guy that had nothing, you know, and he had to borrow it for, you literally had made him call his mom and borrow $1,000, or you made him go, you know what, I do have this chain or this watch I don't even wear. And you know what? And then you're like, oh, tell me what it is. Can you get someone to take a picture of it right now? Send it to me. You call up the pawn shop, you get them $1,000 for it, right? Boom. So, and you get that $1,000. That's the hardest money to get, is that $1,000 to $1,400 out of somebody that has nothing. But think about it. If you're using those best practices, the guy that comes in with $3,500, you're going to get $7,500 out of him. That's a $4,000 swing in your deal. If this was going to be a capped out deal before, or a deal you would have had a tough time making, you might not have even made the deal if you hadn't been hammering on the down payment, first of all. So you're actually getting more deals doing this, right? But then say you would have made the deal, finance has an extra $4,000 to work with that they might not have had, you know, because it's interesting how, you know, if the guy comes in with $2,500, how often it is like, oh, I can barely make the deal, but finance is left with nothing. So it depends your brand. It depends the bank you're working with and everything else. But that's the reality of the situation. So unless either one of you guys have something to add, I think this was a good base talk. I do a lot of training on this, of course. This is a big part of my sales desk training that I do. I've got, you know, multiple page documents on just hammering down payment.
I
didn't want to go into the weeds on that. I wanted to talk more around the philosophy. Not that I don't want to give you all my secrets. Maybe we will do that on another show. I think I did give out quite a bit. I mean, obviously pulling that credit report. And if you're a GM or a GSM and your sales desk isn't going to look at the credit report, make the sales desk print the credit report and give it to finance. Because guess who can pick up down payment if the sales desk is not picking up down payment? If I'm the finance manager and all my deals are capped out and I can only sell the products that the bank lets me add, right? And you're capping me out on selling any of my hard items or some other items that I'm able to sell or need to be selling, and I'm not able to sell them in there because the deals are coming back maxed out, then, as a smart finance manager, if the desk isn't doing it, you can do it, right? So, and then also if you have any sort of, credit card that's offered by your manufacturer, the finance department can do that. There's so many different things you can do to get more down payment. But the finance manager, if the desk isn't doing it, looks at the credit report and knows, man, the desk stuffed this deal in my office with zero down or $1,000 down or $2,500 down. And you know, it's exactly what the customer told them they had down. And then you look at their credit report and they got a zero balance on a 20K credit card or 10K credit card, you know that they've got 10K or 20K sitting right there. So I would immediately in the finance office then present my menu with more money down than that deal came back with.
Yep. No, we talked about it a little bit before, but you know, in this market, if you have some equity, if you have $1,000, $2,000 in decent job time and income, that's going to help out with your subprime deals too. And, you know, if you're a finance manager that gets, you know, like a one pay that comes in and they've already got their check, one of the coolest things I saw recently was a finance manager say, well, whip out your credit card because you're going to need some protection. And it happened.
That's awesome. Yeah, just that's a great assumption close right there. So, and even so, even if you don't have any problems selling, all your additional products are considered back end. Your bank gives you enough money to sell them. Your deals are still going to go up by collecting more down payment. You know why? Because the customer doesn't want to go over $700 a month. So the more money you can get down, the more you can put in to get them to the $700 a month. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I'm explaining here. So if your customer comes in going, I want to put $5,000 down max and I'm not going over 700. And then they tell you they want to put $2,500 down. You say, okay, and you get them to 650. Okay. Well, now you've only got $50 and they've already spent that other $2,500 in their mind on something else that you let them hold. Straight up. That's exactly what happened. You let them hold it. And now they still don't want to go over $700. So you got $50 left and you don't even know that, but that's what really happens. And a great finance manager always uncovers what the real budget is for the most part. So, you know, if you've already gone past all of this down payment and they've gotten comfortable and think they can buy with the $2,500 down, well, they're not pulling out any more down payment if you're not asking for it. And they're also not going over $700. So even if you've got all your banks allow $6,000, $7,000 to back end, I mean, this varies across the brands, the manufacturers, the banks, et cetera, right? But even if you have that, you're like, oh, so I don't need to ask for more down payment because they always give me $6,000 or $7,000 in the back end. I didn't go over this. No, wrong. And you still, your deals will still go up exponentially. Like for an extra, if you look at what is my average down payment across all my deals, if you get that up an extra $500, I assure you, your gross is at least going up another $300. So if you get that down payment up another $1,000, you start to get good at it, another $1,500. This is when you see the massive differences in gross from one dealership to another dealership. It's all goes back to the down payment.
Yeah, this has been great.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening and tune in next week. And we'll see y'all later.
Awesome. Thanks, Phil.
See you guys. Great stuff.